Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
If you hear some snoring, that's okay. Probably might hear better with your subconscious anyways. So. I used to notice that. Oh, honey, I think that's okay.
Should I shut this window?
No, you're okay, honey. You're okay. Don't move the thing around. Okay. Thank you. Why don't you mind sitting in that other chair? Because I think everything's going.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be good. You know how you like to wave around and
Sorry.
Kick your feet. So, here we are. Peoples and dogs. This afternoon, I want to take you on my journey to what's happened very, very intimately with me. And I hope you will take it into yourself and recognize it, and then let me know when this happens to you. And it's not something, if we say it's happened, right, then we need to be careful with that. Because I remember on Facebook even, I haven't ever been on Facebook, and I remember I posted some posts on there about some things. And I realized when I posted them that it was only for me. Because I said some things that other people had not realized yet. And so there was argument. And what I've learned to do now on Facebook, if I do post something and I see that there's argument, I go in right away and delete it. I say, well, this is just for me. And when you realize that the only way that the only thing the world needs is for you to stop judging it. That's where salvation begins. When you see the world the way the Father sees the world, in righteousness and loving kindness, before it ever came to be, before the foundation of the world, He said it was good. That's never changed, ever. That's never changed. The Father has never changed in who He is. And so all the stories throughout Scripture are for us to identify it with, not for us to, well, you think of Sodom and Gomorrah and everybody thinks about gays and lesbians. He said if you've looked upon a woman the wrong way, you've committed adultery. Jesus brought it right home, didn't He? He said, if you're angry with your brother, you're a murderer. He said that to us. Have you ever not been angry? My brother and I used to fight all the time. And it's still difficult even to communicate with him because he's very, very resistive to even any kind of direction sometimes because he's very, very confident in himself. And so I have to learn to listen more and try to guide him. You know, a lot of times there are times when we have to sit down and talk about this peace he says he wants in his life. And we have to realize that the only reason there's not peace in our life is because our view of life is not correct. It's our view. It's not someone else's. So today there's an oil that I carry around with me, and I use it quite frequently. My wife sells these. Gary Sigler sells these. It's a Young Living oil, and it's called Stress Away. Right? So that's what I want to do for you, is help you identify where is the stress of life entering? How is it entering? Because we get so tied up in the details that we never get back to the real issue. And that's what we're talking about today. So today, I really want to spend some time focusing in on a statement that Dean Dosher said on Facebook, because it's very shocking. And we said it this morning, and I think I even said it yesterday a little bit, but I want to really hone in on it. And he said, our definition of God comes from our desire to control one another. And he said it's falling apart. When that falls apart, you're going to find yourself in a place of contentment and thankfulness for all things. That's why it's good for you. That's where all the stress comes from, is that because of our fear, we enter into this control zone. And we believe then in a God of reward and punishment. So God, our definition of God, comes from our desire to control one another and to control ourselves. Our definition of God. So we know there's only love, there's nothing but love. But you've been trying to do something about that your whole life. And so we're back into the game of hide and seek again, aren't we? And we don't know we're it. We are love. We don't know that. And when we know that, the game is over then of hide and seek with love. We've had glimpses of it. C.S. Lewis talked about stabs of joy. But that's as far as he ever got with it, as far as I know. He never got beyond that. And we've had stabs of joy and experiences we've had, and it's all been for our reward, our furtherance into the kingdom. But we still didn't know him the way he is known. We still haven't known him. And so there's only love, there's nothing but love, and you can't do anything about it except bitch and complain and cry and plead and cajole and argue. That's what man does. That's all you can do with it. That's why you've been doing it your whole life. Why is it happening? Where's it gotten you? Where's your bitching got you? Where's your complaining got you? Where's your problem got you? Nowhere. Hasn't gotten you anywhere. Especially if it isn't done yet. And there's a lot of things we're sensitive to that we see in this world that we judge, and some of them look awful. I'm with you. Some of it looks awful. It doesn't look good. How do we rise above then the world? How do we leave the world? Jesus says, I'm leaving the world and going to my Father, this Father of love. How do you do that? How can you do that? Well, you've got to know this truth. There's truth missing in our lives when we're frustrated, when we're anxious. Somewhere truth is missing that sets you free. Understanding your love, understanding this love is life eternal. Understanding the Father within is life eternal. To know me is life eternal. So Einstein said, one of our problems is that we believe in the past, present, and future. Do you know that the Father of love has no history? He has no history. What does that mean? He has no memory. How can he have a memory if he only lives within the moment? If he only exists within the moment? Memories are a byproduct of our history. Love doesn't have a memory. Love is. It always is, and it's always doing the same thing. God has a memory. Our God has a memory, doesn't he? He's writing down everything. You're going to go to him up on a throne and talk about all your problems one day and hope he gives you a crown. Do you think he's going to stop? You think love's going to stop in its tracks and listen to your bitching? Oh, poor Mikey. Poor Mikey. He doesn't know me. He's going to know me. He'll know me. And when he does, all your history disappears. All of it. It's gone. There's no such thing as history. Whatever's happened to you, quit crying over spilt milk. Quit complaining about it. And as soon as you drag one little bit of your history into today, you zoom right by today out into the future with it and try to hold it up and compare what you think might be coming to what you've experienced. And it's all an illusion, Einstein said. The distinction between the past, present, and future does not exist. And he saw it with his microscope. So, holy Sam, there's God. He's invisible. He saw the invisible. They couldn't see it, but they knew something was moving. But it was invisible. Within the atomic structure, there's another force. They realize there's something else holding it together, and it's love. Love's holding everything together. And that has no beginning and no end. So man, right, with his God, who's trying to control everyone, is going at the speed of time as fast as he can. But there's no such thing as time. Man is going at the speed of time as fast as he can towards the future of peace. That's the same thing the Hebrews are doing, still waiting for Jesus to come back and bring peace to a kingdom that Jesus said was within you. He said, in the world, there will be tribulation. How did he overcome the world? He said, I go to my Father. And so when problems came to him, what did he do? He says, I go to my Father, instead of focusing on the problem. And he got to a place where he said, the words I speak are the Father's words. And when you begin to speak love into your universe, you're always speaking the word of the Father. That will happen with every son of God. And we can't look into time and try to see it there. You can't look within the illusion of passing time and see it because you're not going to see it. But if God is always in the eternal now, he sees it all complete, doesn't he? He doesn't see the need we see. He doesn't see the hell and death that we see every day when we agree with what we see and hear. He doesn't see any of that. He doesn't recognize humanity because humanity dwells in an illusion. How can love see an illusion? It can't. It's not real. So, does that mean that what's going on in this world is not real? No, it's very real in this world, isn't it? But our problem isn't that. The core of the illusion of it is our judgment of the world. That's where the illusion begins. How can you judge the world in righteousness, the righteousness of love, if you look at it so closely? So we're looking for love, aren't we, in our neighbors? And then we see it in ourselves, and we begin to feel it ourselves. So there's no such thing as future. Man has been going as fast as he can while waiting for something to happen. And nothing is ever going to happen tomorrow. And as soon as you believe that for one instant, you leave the kingdom of peace. As soon as you do it, you open the door to outer darkness and step out in it. Sometimes you might have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in outer darkness, right? But it's a vacuum. It says nature abhors a vacuum. Love abhors a vacuum. But the kingdom of darkness is a vacuum. Once you begin, it sucks you in. And then you move out into layers of unbelief, and it's why sometimes it's difficult to see the illusion. Because we're past the illusion, aren't we? We're out working with it, right? And when you're out in the world, when I go to work on Monday, the streets are full of lions. Full of them. Seeking who they may devour. There's millions of devils out there that are sons of the living God, but they're dwelling in an outer darkness, looking for a God that doesn't exist. That's a really, really deep illusion. That's a stubborn illusion, isn't it? Because it's got many layers to it. When your eyes open to this realization that you can do nothing about the fact that love is all. It said God is all in all. Love is all in all. And all should be enough for us. That's our reward. I'm your reward. I am all there is. Love is all there is. That should be enough for us, but it's usually not enough. It's usually not enough, and that's where all the gnashing of teeth comes in. This person did this to me, and life sucks, and blah, blah, blah. Life does suck. Your definition of life certainly sucks. So did mine. So does mine when I get pulled into that. It sucks immediately. As soon as my toe hits the threshold of outer darkness, it begins to suck. So why am I defending it? That's the thing I'm learning. What the hell am I defending death for? That's where the dilemma starts to come in. We just don't know the true definitions of these things. Death just simply means to be somewhere else, to be outside of yourself. It's that simple. But we make it complicated. Because there's something out there we can't quite see love in. There's something. There's always something. What was her name on Saturday Night Live?
Either
no, it was that other gal. She's not with us anymore. She passed on.
Oh,
Radner.
Radner.
Oh, yeah. It's always something.
Yeah.
Gilda Radner. It's always something. That's it. That's the definition of man. It's always something, isn't it? I grew up with a mom that was a very, very extreme example of this. My dad was very loving, and I knew my mom loved me, but she was a complainer. She was never satisfied. The room was never clean enough. We never did enough. And so what did we do when we come home? We people today sit on the couch and play video games. I mean, we wanted out of the house is what we wanted. So we were out creating life out in the woods where we lived. I used to hide it. As a kindergartner, if she wasn't right there, I'd hide behind the bush till she'd come down and couldn't find me. And as soon as she drove back up the hill, I ran. And I loved it. I don't feel ever that I was abused as a child because we were just out creating our own life. But I saw what it was like for someone never to be happy. Never to be happy. I got a good example of that. And that was good for me to see that. And I thought, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be unhappy all my life. But even the least little bit of judgment will grab you. Like that's why it's called a vacuum. It just sucks you in. And sometimes you don't know it. A lot of times it's just from ignorance. We don't know what we're doing. Nobody wants to promote death. Nobody'd say I want to promote death. So nothing's going to happen tomorrow. Love is all. If you're not satisfied with all, it's because we don't know it. If we're not satisfied with that, it's because we don't know it. We don't know love. We don't really know it. It hasn't come alive within you. And I'm going to tell you here in about a half an hour how it's come alive in me. not to brag at all, just to share with you what I heard and what transpired deep within my soul, and a door shut behind me. A door shut behind me, and I knew it would never open again. I knew I could never go back. That was what's so beautiful about it. And it's produced in me a sense of peace without fear. And it, I'm just telling you, it's just beautiful. It's just so beautiful. And when we get to the end, I'm going to share it with you. So now, before I share that with you, I'm going to stir you up. I want to stir up your soul. And Dean's doing it. Our definition of God comes from our desire to control one another. Because we're controlling one another, we think we've got it all figured out, don't we? Right? So now I'm going to stir the pot a little more. I want to throw a monkey wrench in the middle of your thought process. Because as long as you're taking thought, you're looking for trouble. Why did Jesus say, take no thought for your life? Why did he say that? For what you shall eat and what you shall put on. Even simple things. Don't you trust me? Don't you know me? Everything you need is within you. And this vibration, this energy Einstein was talking about, you create your own death environment. We create that. We do. We create that death environment. What did Job say? The thing I feared has come upon me. So we do create an environment in this realm of hell and destruction. We create that environment. And to us it appears real. So your fears become a magnet to itself. It starts to draw, and that's why I told Diane, as long as she's so fearful of drips, it'll be sucking right into her fear. It will. We'll have drips where they're not supposed to be drips. There's not even any water around. Some of them we could just not find, folks. So I put an extension on the roof, and they finally disappeared, right? I needed it anyway, so I had two reasons to do it, you know. Okay, here we go. Here comes the monkey wrench. God does not love you. How can I say that? What goes through your mind when I say that to you? How do you answer that when I say God does not love you? Well, some might say I don't feel very loved. Some are wanting a better love, right? Some are wanting a different love. But the issue here is every man is seeking a love outside of himself. The moment you say God, he's remote to you. Every time you've ever said God, he's felt remote from you. God, can you see this going on down here? Do you see this? Why in the hell aren't you doing something about it? So we sit in meetings and give prayer requests of unbelief to an unknown God. That's what's happening in any kind of religious service. It doesn't have to be in a church. I've said in them myself. Prayers of unbelief. Not only does God not love you, God cannot love you. He can't. God can't love you. Because the only way you can know love is to know yourself. You have to know yourself to know love. You have to. That's where it's at. Hello? I'm in there. Mike, why are you praying to strange gods who can't save you? That's what he said in Isaiah. Why are you praying to strange gods who can't save you? Don't you know me? A loving Savior. A loving Savior, it says in Isaiah. Don't you know me? So if you're praying to a God, you don't know the love within you. Why are you praying to God? What for? What do you want? What is it you want? Because that's what the function is. And so Dean said, God, that our definition of God, he said it, comes from our desire to control one another or the circumstances. And it's falling apart. We could stand every person up in every church, every organized religion in the world, and they'll say they believe in God, won't they? Everyone. Everyone. We're trying to control hell and pray to a God who doesn't exist. And he appears as an angel of light. Uh-oh. Here's another monkey wrench. He appears to us as an angel of light. Who art thou, Lucifer, who has fallen from heaven? That angel of light. Guess who Lucifer is? We are angels of light, and we've fallen away from who we are. It's all about us falling away from ourselves, looking for a God that we want to drag into our world of unbelief. So when you say, God loves me, who's the God and who's the me? Do you see there's separation in that? Do you see what I'm saying? Are you following me? There's always separation in that. And what I'm trying to tell you and what Dean's trying to tell you is your definition of God is always something that's separate. When you say God, it always feels like he's out for a beer and a sandwich. It has a feeling because there's something wrong. And so we try to drag God into our earth, into our definition of earth, and we begin praying to him. To fix, to what? Would you agree with my judgment, Father? Hello. There's something going on in Egypt. Syria's a mess. Afghanistan's crazy. How many conflicts are there? When can you stand and see your salvation? That's what he said to you. Don't you know me as your Savior? Everything I am is within you. But you keep coming back to him and want something more than all. We want something more than all. We want this to stop happening. We want this to change. We want to alter this. That's your God. And he appears to you as an angel of light. And it's really the devil. It's what it is. The God we've believed in is a ghost. It's an illusion. It's not real. So an illusion can't love you. Something that's not real can't love you. Because you always measure it by what? By what's happening outside of you. And see, we've been worshiping that God our whole lives. I have been. Now, I quit praying a long time ago. I quit asking for things long, long ago when I started reading Walter Lanyon. I really did. But I didn't understand the depth of it the way I do, okay, today. I didn't. And I'm telling you, what happened to me just a couple weeks ago has brought me to a place where I've visually seen my crucifixion. I've visually seen it in a door shut behind me. And it's just wonderful. So if you think God loves you, you instantly believe in a God that's remote to you. God, thank you for loving me. Well, where the hell is he? Yeah. See what I'm saying? You see how subtle that is? Where in the hell is he? I don't feel love today, God. Yeah, messy, isn't it? Do you see how subtle that is? Why it can be such a stubborn illusion? I mean, I'm telling you guys, everything that I've received by revelation, everything I've ever believed in my life has been turned inside out. I mean, everything. So I start to look for it in strange places now, because it's not where it was to me before. It was never there, because it kept changing all the time. It kept moving. God, where are you? Are you here? Are you there? Seeing the circumstances going smoothly as somehow some blessing from this God. And as soon as you think that, you instantly believe of a God in reward and punishment. And God's not someone who rewards and punishes anybody. As Tony would say, he hasn't heard a fly. This is the story of Noah, a picture of man drowning in the ocean of passing time, trying to create life himself. And this is when Adam fell. And he found himself where? Naked and in fear. Now, we all must go through that to find ourselves naked and afraid, to find the real Father of love, okay? We do. Everybody has to go through it. But you will come out of it. The Father's drawing all men to himself, and I leave that up to him. I'm not trying to get somebody saved, because they just need to be saved from my judgment of them. That's all my business is. That's all I can do, is escape the death realm of hell and destruction myself. That's it. And who's doing that? It isn't me. It isn't Michael Nevins. He's been fighting it his whole life, kicking and screaming. He has. And I didn't want to die. The ego does not want to die. Its first thing it says is, I don't have an ego. That's what the ego says. I don't have an ego. I talked to one of the nicest girls the other day. She's a sweetheart. And I was talking to her about the ego. She says, well, I don't really struggle with the ego. I said, well, that's the first thing it says. Let go of my ego. I like my ego myself. So God cannot love you because he's not real. It's not real, guys. This guy, we got to change his name because his name's love. And if you don't know you're it, you're still playing a game of hide and seek. He's tagged me. He finally caught me by the ankle a couple weeks ago. And everything I've been teaching this for years. But everything I have been teaching you has come to its fruition, so that I'm realizing that I'm speaking the word of the Father. That's why I can sit up here in confidence to you, because I'm telling you, when I prepare these messages, I say, Father, I do not want to speak a word to anyone. And so I get fearful. And this is a good fear, because I don't want confidence in myself. I don't want you to think about me. I'm not looking to start a group. I'm not looking for followers. I'm not looking for money. I'm looking for nothing except to share with you my life story. And the scripture is talking about people's life story. That's why you see inconsistency in it. It's their journey. It's their journey. Job had a journey. Noah had a journey. Paul had a journey. Jesus had a journey. I'll guarantee you Jesus didn't behave well all the time. I know it. Mm-hmm. Said he was made like unto his brethren in every respect. Yep. So that's enough for me. And thank God I can relate to him. Right. Thank God. Right. I can now relate to him and know this is my path. And so I take the works of John and the words of Jesus very seriously. Lanyon says it all the time. He says, well, I get revelation and I always line it up with Jesus. Not Jesus the man, but Christ the Lord. Okay? Jesus the carpenter is deader than a doornail. Okay? That guy that healed things, he's dead. And what did he do? We talked about it last in March. He preached the word unto him, it said. We missed that. We just saw about the man. We just see where the man of the palsy jumped up. The ego loves to grab a hold of that, but at the beginning of it said he preached the word to them. That's why people were following. They were hearing. There was love in them that was attracted to this word, but they never knew it. They never knew it. My desire is for all of us to know this love. That's my desire. And I know that I'm speaking into that. Whatever you hear, whatever word it is that you hang on to, it's speaking to you from inside you. That's your teacher. When you know this, all of you become teachers of love. Everybody. It says, no man, there'll be a time when no man will need a teacher because they'll all know me. From the least to the greatest. They'll all know me. And the simplicity of love then unravels all the complications of this illusion. And when it comes, I know you. Get behind me. Bruce says this all the time on Facebook. You know, he says it to himself. Get behind me, Satan. Thou art not for the things of love. Thou art for the things of man. We know the difference. We have to know the difference between flesh and spirit. And that's what we're learning. So the instantly we believe, when we say God loves us, who's the us? God loves me. Well, of course, I knew that all the time, you know. I could have told him that before he told me. Why wouldn't he love me? You know? Jeez, look at me, you know. Look what everything I do, God. I mean, I'm the small business person of the year for the state of Michigan, bless God. I mean, what took him so long? You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. What the hell took him so long? They've been asleep, haven't they, Rex? I should have got it 10 years ago.
Yeah, I knew it a long time
ago. Yeah, Rex knew it a long time ago. Son of a gun. Yeah, I'm going to go to Washington, and they better vote me in for the national award, or they've got it all screwed up. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going against Joe's Bakery in Alaska. Now, if I can't beat him, something's wrong, okay? I got to beat Joe's Bakery, for sure, okay? And I've read the list of some other ones. There's a pizza parlor in Arizona, and I said, man, ain't they got anything more than that? I mean, look at us in Michigan. I got a factory that's LEED certified. You know what I'm saying? There's no competition in love, is there? Whatever happens, it's always right for you, for your reward. Whatever happens, it's always right for you. And so you'll no longer see anything as your adversary. You'll quit seeing and having double vision. To the pure, all things are pure. To the pure, all things are pure. When we see love in everything that approaches us, sometimes it don't look like love, does it? Many times it doesn't look like love. But it's always in there, underneath, and hiding behind the appearances. It's always there, if you wait. We spend our whole lives praying to an idol to give us something. As the reality of life eludes us. Our whole lives we've been praying to a God who can't save us. Because we've got to keep going back. Salvation is something that's permanent. It's a realm that's sure and steadfast and doesn't change. It does not change. And it's not something that's done to you. It's something that is you. That's why you can't brag about it. I used to I used to walk the aisle every summer at Vacation Bible School because they scared the hell out of us. Well, apparently they didn't scare enough of it out of me because I had to keep going up. And then they taught you could fart and slip on a banana peel and lose it. So I was sure I did both, right? I knew I did, so I better run up again, you know. Then I'd say, down, lay me down to sleep. If I fart while I sleep, take my soul before I wake. Right? That's what it all means. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to save. Soul to keep, excuse me. Prayed it every night. Soul to take, yep. Take my soul. Don't leave my soul in hell, Father. Now that's the one we want, isn't it? And what did he say? Thou shalt not leave thy soul in hell. For everyone, every child. Every child. And God doesn't live in a time zone. So he has to see it done. Isn't that amazing? There's a relief, isn't it? That's why the only salvation you need is to quit judging the world. He sees it complete already. That's his vision. That's why he loves the world. Because he sees its love. And I've always said, eternity is just slowed down enough to be visible for us. To bring us into love. But it's still eternal. And even people who don't know God at all will even say they'll get a feeling years after terrible things have happened. And then they'll say, oh, I can see God in that now. But in between then and the now, they were in hell, weren't they? Can you see as your Father sees? That's your vision, you know, that it's all complete. And somebody will bark up and say, well, don't mess with my journey. There's no question people trapped in the illusion of passing time are on a journey. Every man must swim through the ocean of time. Every man. So the Father says, don't you know me? I'm within you, a loving Savior that sees you in loving kindness and equity and uprightness. And I'm always judging you in righteousness. Loving judgment. The Father's always judging you in loving judgment. So it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment of love. You'll never see the judgment of love in your life until you die. And then you'll not be hurt by the second death, it says. Because you'll quit believing in it. I love what Walter Lanyon says. He says it all the time. I'm not going anywhere. He'd say it all the time. And he said, everything you will ever do is already done. Everything you will ever do is already done. God can't bless you. Monkey wrench. God can't bless you with something. I am your reward. I am your reward. Open your ragu jar up and look down in there and see your soul and say it's all in there. Right? That's that ragu commercial. Remember that? Mama, it's all in there. Yes, son, it is. It's really good. That's what God said. It's really good. He says, this is really good. We have to learn. We have to be crucified in our flesh to know love. So we're conscious of love. Isn't that beautiful how he shared that with us? That's how he can share it with us. That's how we can become love. To know ourselves is to know love. And he shared that with us. But we all must suffer and die in our wrong identity. Every man has to. And we don't want to. But on the other side of that is life eternal. A life that never passes away, that can't change. It's beautiful. So don't try to change the journey you see others on. It's their journey.
Yeah, that's right.
It's their journey. Leave it alone. Just let them feel love. Let them feel your love. They'll be attracted to it just with your smile. Who is the one, the sister of, is it Charlene?
Charlene.
Charlene, there was a picture of Charlene on her Facebook, and I mean, she was smiling so big, it looked like her cheeks were cracking. Now, I looked at that picture, because they showed a picture of her mama. And I looked at the picture of her mama, and I looked at that picture of Charlene, and I'm just telling you, all I could see was love. I could see it. I felt it. Just looking at this still image of her, I could see that she knew love. I could see it. I said, now there's love. Had nothing to do with beauty or features or anything. Not that she's not beautiful, but I could just see it. I could look at her picture. I said, now there is love. I see it. When a smile of love shines upon death, it stops. Because it feels it in the spiritual realm that's invisible. You don't have to correct it. You don't have to. The pressure's off. And the only people that want to save people are the ones that are in hell. Is that where you want to bring them? You want to save them to your hell? You want them to join you? Of course we do. We like company in hell because we're lonely. But this journey has to be done alone. And I'm going to share with you my journey. So God can't love you when you don't know yourself. And see, when you don't know yourself, you're praying to a remote God. That's why. Has to come within to those around you. So if you want to know when you're going to feel loved, it's when you love your neighbor. Right? He didn't say, love thyself as thy neighbor. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we got it the other way around, don't we? Well, I'm going to go show my neighbor how much I'm love. I am love. And it's true. But you don't have to prove it to anybody. So it begins with extending love around them, and it can flow without wanting anything in return. You're not looking for reward. There's no such thing as a 50-50 marriage. No such thing. Because then you're in competition, aren't you? Well, I did this for you, bitch. Why don't you do this for me? You know, bless God, I did this and that. You can't even get me a damn cup of coffee. You know? I've said it. I didn't quite say it like that, you know, but because I don't usually talk to her that way. But I have said it in the past, haven't I? I've quit saying it. And she'll say, why don't you get your lazy butt down here and get it yourself, you know? Well, we get so familiar with each other that what does it do? It breeds contempt. Right? The people around the most see the most contempt. Now, the other night, we were laying in bed together, and I reached over and held her hand, and the Father said, this is your hand. And it felt different to me. Very different to me. And that's one of the stories I'm going to share with you. Now, I want to just digress a little bit. Because I want to try to suck in all this vacuum that I've been hearing buzzing out there with a lot of people that are part of this group. Many people are looking and waiting for a global event to take place. Still whisperings of it, I'm telling you. It's never going to happen. If you believe that for a second, You don't know yourself. You don't know that you're complete. You don't know that you have all things for life and godliness. So what the hell are you looking for? What is it you're looking for? What do you want, Mike? Why don't you shut up? I mean, I say that to myself, okay? Shut the hell up, Nevins, in hell. Shut the hell up. Shut up and shut the door. Can't you be content today? And I mean, I got a nice wife, I'm telling you. I do. But the devil always seems to find fault with something. He's always looking for something. 90% of it's good, but he talks about the 1%, don't we? Well, bless God. You know, it's crazy. It's just insane is what it is. If we're living and dwelling in this kingdom of love, we're never trying to change or manipulate or alter the appearances in any way, because love's not a control freak. And Dean just told us that's who our God was. We become a control freak and we try to invite God into our hell and change hell for us. So we're not looking for a world event to take place. We're looking for an internal event to take place. And then we begin, deep within our soul, to find our salvation. Our salvation. We begin to see our salvation, our own salvation. And we stop praying to a God in the sky to do something. That's why God can't love you. God doesn't say, well, I guess I'll love him. I guess, you know, I mean, they're heathens, but, you know, I'll put up with them, you know. Before you ever came in here and did a thing, he loved you. Before you were born, he created you holy, it says. Isn't that beautiful? Before you were born to what? The illusion that you're separate from God? That illusion? You're not separate from all. In any degree, not separate at all. So forgive me for using words. I'm talking about things. I'm trying to describe that which is invisible in words, okay? So if they don't line up, if something doesn't quite line up, don't beat me up over words. Get the context of what we're talking about, right? Try to surround yourself with the context, okay? What do we mean when we say God? That's what you got to ask yourself. When you've used that word, what have you been doing? He's not something out there. And he's not somewhere. He's not something you can worship, and he's not something you can adore. So a lot of the words to our songs are off, aren't they? I used to set meetings, and we were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come down. And he was already within me. So every time you love your spouse, your children, your neighbor, you're loving yourself. You're loving the Father. And what did Jesus say to Paul? Paul, why are you persecuting me? Do you see the connection there? Why are you persecuting me? The most religious, devout person ever to walk the face of the earth, according to his track record, right? His treadmill. I have kept the law at every point, he said, and I found myself to be the chiefest of sinners. That's what he discovered. And he went around murdering people in the name of God. This God, I'm telling you, that isn't real. He went around in the name of God and was slaying his brother. Crazy. So in time, and our judgment of the appearances, we become trapped in anxiousness. And it steals away this Father. So God, quit using the word. Say Father of love, love, or God is love, and that's all there is to it. That's what He does, is love. And it doesn't have any conditions. That's hard to take. Our religious mind is not like that. Because it's still got some tendencies there, right? That's why it's hard to hear this. Okay? So our definition of God comes from the desire to control. And it's falling apart. This devil, this personal God, is a God of control. And Jesus turned to this father of lies and said, "Get behind me." And once you hear this speaking into your unbelief, you'll do the same thing. So if you think the devil is going to get you, he already has. You know why? He's the one that manages all your fears for you. He's the manager of your fears. And you call Him God. You call Him God. You start calling to the manager of your fears and ask Him to do something about it, don't you? We've called Him God. And it's the devil. It's not real. It's an illusion. None of it's real. We wander away in our minds, seeking a God to what? Take away the thing that we fear. Remove that thing which we fear. Instead of learning that it's there for our furtherance into the kingdom of love. It's for you, not against you. And your double-mindedness will become pure, and you'll see all things as pure. You'll know that everything that comes to you has a gift in it somewhere. There's a treasure, a nugget in it somewhere that's for you. It's not for anyone else. It's for you. So pure, unconditional love, by its own definition, is changeless. It does not judge between right or wrong. It cannot have a beginning or have an end. It is no respecter of persons. It has no partiality. It only sees love. So it doesn't do anything to anybody but love. That's all it does. Wherever you find them, you've been there. You've been there. Let them go there. And just love them in their journey. That's what we're called to do. Now, I want to end with just some stories about what's been in front of me. So, Full Spectrum Solutions. Businessman of the Year, right? Michigan. The whole state of Michigan. Wow. Over the last few weeks, God is rewarding me with events, I'm finding out. And we entered into a beautiful relationship with Bosch, $100 billion a year company. I told you a little bit about it earlier. They make electronics, most of the complicated electronic devices you find in your high-end cars. The features where the car parks itself, this new feature where it detects an accident, helps you, knows if you fall asleep. It's all invented and designed and made by Bosch. That's how good of a company they are, right? Perfect partnership for us. We've been working for 4 years on this project to switch our whole line over to being U.S. made. All this stuff is made in the USA. Hallelujah, right? Probably one of the reasons I got Small Business Person of the Year, right? Bosch USA is in Farmington Hills. So we partnered up with guys up the road. It's beautiful, beautiful marriage. So everybody here, I sure knows Menards. They have 300 stores in the Midwest. They're not national yet, but they're pretty big. And they're giving Home Depot and Lowe's a run for their money. Save big money at Menards, and they really mean it. That's their little song, little jingle that you hear all the time when you're in the store. Save big money at Menards. All the time. You hear it over and over, right? And they really are cheaper. I've tried them. So, we were so excited. We've done about 30 of the new stores of Menards, and they've got 250 retrofit stores. And we're right on the verge of them telling us to give us the go-ahead to put in 200,000 lights. 2,000's a lot. 220,000's a lot. 200,000 lights. We switched over to Bosch. We've given them the pitch. This thing is rock solid. It's like a Sherman tank. You're never going to have problems with it. We've shipped out to 5 stores already, and we've had problems in every store. Some stores, multiple problems. The lights just suddenly quit working. Yeah, oh, that's right, Jerry. That's right. If we don't get it corrected soon, we're going to lose their business. We can't keep sending them lights out to their stores and having them burn out. They need lights, right? They're open in the dark. They can't have their lights out at all. Now, am I going to say with my lips? See, I'm not even going to tell you. You can just read between the lines, right? What happens when you can't sell lights anymore? Don't say it. But if you're in the lighting manufacturing business and you can't sell any, you know what I'm saying? You follow my drift? I'm not even going to speak it with my words. You know why? I'm going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to stand. It's a big one now. It's a big one. Now, 2 days ago, Thursday night, right when I was getting ready to do the lesson for Friday, I got an email that said one of our longtime partners is going to sue us. I don't even know why. I haven't even read it yet. I didn't even open it. I said, that's all right. That's the least of my worries. As long as I got money flowing and we're making lights, I can handle it, right? We got money. We can hire a lawyer. So that one was easy. But this one's a big one. It's real big. I've got a bunch of product on the floor that's already been built. And we've discovered that when we do fix this problem, I'm going to have to rebuild it all before it can ever go out. I'm going to have to now. Because I'm not going to ship lights out that don't work. I won't do it. Now I've just found out. Now it's not catastrophic, right? There's 800 lights in a store. And we've had 16 go out here and 6 there and 4 there. But all of a sudden they just blow. Just blow. They just quit working. And we haven't ever had that kind of problem. Even with our Asian import stuff. We've had very few go. So, I want to tell you why I'm not in fear about it. And about many things. There's been a few other things, and I don't want to keep telling you stories, right? There's been 3 or 4 others. And a herd of them's coming at me. And you know what it's for? It's for me. It's all for me. I am their leader. None of them know the Father. It's not for them, so they'll behave. It's for me. It's not for my wife. It's not for anyone else. It's for me, not against me. It is. I know it. I really know it. I really know it deep down inside. And you want to know what? I am not afraid. I'm just telling you, I am not afraid. And that, my friends, is amazing. Because I'm somebody who keeps tight reins on the activities. Now, I'm not a control freak. We do the Deming system where cells manage themselves. Nobody's fired unless the cell becomes unsettled with that person. See, because I want my people to have their own autonomy within their cell. Because I want them to be passionate about what they do as each group. And we've got six groups, right? And there's a manager over each group. So I speak into the managers, and every one of those managers know that Diane and I love them. And that we come into work, that I come into work because I want to work with them. And I've told every one of them, if you don't want to do this, I don't either. We'll just shut her down and we'll walk out. You have to love what you're doing. And we reward them. They share in the spoils of the business. They all get big checks at the end of the year based on what's left over. If something's left over, we divide it up, hand it out. And so they love that. And I've taught them how to be passionate about what they do. So they're all nervous too, because it's their livelihood as well. So when a few months ago these things would come, and it would take me a while to not be afraid. It would take me longer. And that time has been getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and I'm telling you, the door has shut on that. The door is shut. I'm not sure that Diane even knew about this. Did you? I don't really bring these things home and share it with her. A lot of things happen that I don't share with her because it doesn't help. You know, I leave it back at the office and I come home and try to be love and enjoy her. And she says, well, what did you do today? Well, take me all day to tell her what I did today. And I just want to chill, you know, or grab a bottle of scotch, you know, sometimes. Smoke a cigar. So it's tough. I used to be in the construction industry, too. And it's tough business, I'm just telling you. So now, I'm going to share with you what happened to me April 11th, 2014, at 10:30 p.m. on my upper balcony outside. It was almost 70 degrees that day, and it was really nice and warm. And I was standing up there smoking my evening cigar. And I love smoking cigars, because you know what I do every time I'm smoking a cigar? I see the Spirit of God floating up in the air. That's my excuse anyway. But it's a time for me to focus in on who I am. Every time that I smoke a cigar normally, I'm in my truck just slowly traveling around country roads and I'm listening to a Walter Lanyon tape. Be not afraid. I've listened to it 50 times and I'm telling you right now, every time I listen to it, I hear something different. And it's always good. You know him. You could spend a year on one chapter of one of his books. That's how deep that guy is. Be not afraid. I am with you. Now, it's higher than that. I am you. I'm not beside you. See, because when we think God's beside us, then we believe in a God and we don't know the Father of love in us. See, that's why I'm cutting that tree down for you. Why? Because it separates you. I don't want you to feel separated. That's why, because I love you. I don't want you to have a feeling of separation. Do you see what I'm saying? We've got to quit believing in this God we've worshipped our whole lives. And I'm going to tell you what he said to me. It was warm, a little breezy, softly blowing. The peepers were chirping. They were noisy because it was warm. Beep, 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 you know, I'm out there. The stars were glowing and the moon was shining on me. Full moon. And I looked down, I was holding my cigar in my right hand, and I looked down and my hand was glowing in the reflection of the moon. This whole side was white, I mean bright white, glowing in the reflection of the moon. And the Father said, I said to myself, my hand is not upon you. He said, this is my hand. The one that was glowing, he says, this is my hand, Mike. My hand's not upon you. This is my hand. This is my hand. And I realized at the moment that my hand could do nothing but express love. It wasn't a choice I made. I realized it deep within my soul that my hand could do nothing but express love. Now, if I can connect with that from here to here, my whole body is going to begin to express love, isn't it? But I realized in that moment that my hand could do nothing but express love. And it instantly silenced my mind of fear, because there was some fear there, see? These things were buzzing around. With an understanding of peace. The connection. This large connection took place. So now when I look at my hand, I see love. And when I touch her, I know I'm touching love. It's beautiful. And so I felt it again when I held her hand the other night. I knew I was holding my own hand of love. And there was a special connection there for me beyond taking thought, beyond trying. You don't have to try anymore, Mike. You are love. You are love. You are love. And I saw it. The Father of love within you sees all things as one. He sees all things as fulfilled. He sees all things complete. He sees all things as righteous. And he sees all things as unified already. He sees everything unified. So you can relax. You don't have to do anything about it except be yourself. Now, isn't that peaceful? Just be yourself. Be who you are. Be love. Know that you're love. And I hope you have this experience I had, because it changed me forever. It really did. When this happened, all the fear left me and it's not come back. I don't have to look at it from a distance and say whoa anymore, because I'm convinced that everything's for me. Absolutely convinced. Everything is for me for this to be manifest in my life. This love that I saw reflecting off my hand. This love in you is judging the world in loving kindness all the time. It's never ending. It never had a beginning. It will never change. And when you get in line with it, you will never change. And you can ride this horse off into the sunset. It's the white horse that brings love with it into the world without trying, without working, without controlling. There's no God in the future. There's no God out there. You are the Father of light, the Father of love. You are eternal light, eternal life. You're all those things wrapped up into a beautiful package. And when you become one with that, peace will reign in your hearts, which keep you. This keeps you and protects you from what? Fear, your own fear you've had? That's all that you have to do. And so every time you go into a situation, you'll be carrying this with you. And you will be loved to the world. And that's what the world needs to see. And they will see it. Believe me, you'll become a magnet. And so, you know, everybody that comes to you, Bruce, when he's on the video, he and his wife were shopping, and his wife come over while he was doing the video and started talking. He says, God's talking to me. Love's talking to me. Hang on. I got to listen. He listens every time she talks to him. Hi, my love. What do you want? What do you need? I'm here for you. I'm a servant for you. I am your servant in love. Beautiful. So thank you, everybody. we're done for the weekend, and Gary is going to be coming up in July, and we are, well, he'll be coming in July as well for the 4th of July. And I think when we're together, we might maybe at least get together for maybe just an afternoon and do some jamming one of those days. And then in August, we have our big retreat. We'll be announcing those times. So there won't be anything formal in July, but we might do some recordings and then send them out. We might just sit down and blow off some love and see what happens, you know, without any notes, sort of raw love, you know what I mean? Maybe we'll smoke cigars while we're doing it. Yeah, I think we might do it while we're smoking cigars. Right, keeps the religious minds away. Okay? All right? We might do one with the scotch and the cigar. What do you think of that? Would you watch it? Hallelujah. We love you out there, everybody. Bruce and Dean and Gary, thank you. Corey, thank you for your love. Linda, Barry, Bob, many, many others. Martha was listening Friday night from Australia. So we'll see you later. Bye-bye.